The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing in the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We begin our study this morning where we'll review the doctrine of divine essence and attributes. All right, once again, to profit from the study at hand, it demands that the believer priest be in fellowship, be in the filling of God the Holy Spirit. In this way, the believer is able to assimilate the divine viewpoint of life, supernaturally revealed to mankind through the same person and agency of God the Holy Spirit. And we are able to understand and discern God's plan undistorted by the sin nature. And only in this way can we truly approach the truth of Bible doctrine, enabling to communicate it as well as assimilate it within the very purest of forms so intended. Bible doctrine has to have a very high, pure aspect regards to it. It's got to be 99% plus pure in order to truly have the full impact necessary for mankind to take it and apply it in their lives and function appropriately in this regards. If people are not attaining to that level of expectation in regards to God and His Word for them, then they are failing in regards to their own lives, ministries, etc. How we get in fellowship is through the rebound technique, 1 John 1:9. In this condition, then, we are predisposed to hear the truth of Bible doctrine once again this morning in action with honor. So with that in mind, I'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with the normal word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, your word stands forever. We thank you for the revelation of it. We thank you for enlightening positive volition who are true seekers of you in regards to your word, in regards to your plan. To see and be able to see in the very midst of the darkness of the cosmos otherwise, clearly, truly, what life is, reality, and all things revolving around it as it pertains to your person as the creator of these heavens, universe, our world, and mankind. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit lighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. People have their ideas of what God is. We'll look at the Bible and we'll see what the Bible has to say about God, which obviously is the only place you're truly going to have the correct revelation in regards to the supreme being of the universe. And it looks at the fact that God has essence. He has certain traits, characteristics, known as His attributes, that make up His essence. So Roman numeral 1, here, review of this doctrine as we just got our souls filled with God's attributes of omniscience recently here in Genesis. Reviewing here preliminary considerations. A, creation itself clearly evidences the existence of the supreme being of the universe, making culpable any rational human being as to his existence. That's quite a phenomenal statement. That no one who otherwise reaches God consciousness, has an excuse in regards to their rejection of God. And that simply through the very creation, manifestation of it, existence of it, tangible perception of it, that men can come to this gnosis in regards to God, that indeed there exists a God. Psalm 19:1 through 6 tells us in natural revelation of God that the heavens, verse 1, are telling of the glory of God. God's glory obviously is an expression of His essence, as it may be with respect to the totality of His person being perfect and absolute in regards to His being. And the heavens tells us of His glory, to ponder the universe, the planets, the sun, etc., stars, is designed to stimulate the brain computer of the individual and their soul to recognize that there's got to be something, someone, something out there that's behind all of this. See, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. The universe pictures, if you will, speaks in its very existence the creativity and power of God Himself. Day to day pours forth speech. Every day is a reminder to mankind of God's existence. To get up, to be alive, to have physical existence. Obviously, if there was no God, there wouldn't be any of this. See, we wouldn't be here having this discussion this morning. But God makes all this possible as Creator. And every day, people are held culpable in regards to recognizing God in this way. And night to night reveals knowledge. Obviously, the planetary alignments, astrology in regards to astronomy, in regards to the planets, is used to teach doctrine. Men had these things figured out. You got to ask yourself, how did they figure that out? And you look at some of these pictures and the stars, how did they come up with that? Obviously, it's through divine revelation that these things exist. And that in and of itself states to mankind that there is a supernatural being that is communicated with man on this planet. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. It is a silent witness in regards to the very existence of God. Their line has gone out through all the earth. And their utterances to the end of the world. There's no place that you can be on the planet that you cannot see the heavens otherwise. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, a canopy, a place for the sun to exist, to be in this regards, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and a circuit to the other end of them, as it may be perceived in regards to our world. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Wherever it may shine, it brings warmth, even in climates that are have sub-zero temperatures. The sun, when it's out and clear, can bring heat upon people. You hear stories of people in sub-zero weather that have become acclimated to it. They go out and work and they take off their shirt to work in 10 degrees below zero with the sun out because they get warm. That's pretty phenomenal. Obviously, they don't live around here. But anyway, see. But that occurs. And you see people up in the higher ski resorts in the higher elevations and skiing in cutoffs with snow on the ground and lows freezing, etc. So, but the sun's out. It's phenomenal in regards to what it is, what was created in regards to our universe. And then also Romans 1:20 declares and makes clear that these things do hold man culpable. To ponder, consider, and regard the fact that the supreme being in the universe exists. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, these things illustrate God and his attributes in this respect, the perfect nature of them, just the stability. We look and we see movement, etc., activity going on in the universe. But the stability of it is that which is the greatest thing to ponder, that all these stars stay right there. See? The ones that we see and in regards to planets and all these other things, see? Our own planet. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, his very essence, are being clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they, men, are without excuse. All those who remain in unbelief are without excuse. Those who deny the existence of God, that push and promote the evolutionary propaganda campaign through our academic societies, educational systems, etc. They're without excuse. B, the Bible therefore begins not with arguments seeking to establish or prove his existence. Rather, it assumes the blatantly obvious. The doctrine of the blatantly obvious. There is a God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. It assumes his existence. It pre-existed before our creation, before our existence. See, otherwise the Word of God further and emphatically declares his existence and offers information on his nature and character, revealing his essence. While creation reveals the existence of God, only through Bible doctrine can we truly learn about this God, who and what he is, what he expects, what he's about, etc. D, since the essence of God deals with concepts beyond human experience and existence, one should be keenly aware of intellectual limitations when dealing with this subject, as you deal with his different attributes, the absolute quality of his character, things that it's hard to wrap your mind around. And because of that, God has, if you will, dumbed down the revelation concerning himself in language of accommodation, so that we can grasp and have meaning in regards to God. E, at this point, the finite understanding of man seeks to comprehend and grasp the infinite nature of God. You know, just to think he always has been. See, he didn't start anywhere. He always has been. You think about that long enough, the smoke ought to start coming out of your ears. Where did he come from? He didn't come from anywhere. He's always been. See, concepts like that, almost beyond our scope, only our ability to comprehend what this means, but to truly appreciate it and wrap our minds around it. Grasping for in thin air often in that respect. The infinite nature of God. Whether the longer we live in our eternal condition, the more we'll grasp that will be seen. F, independent of divine disclosure, Bible doctrine, as revealed by God. A man possesses no knowledge of divinity that qualifies him to declare who or what God is. The thing is that there are two resources that men can call upon to get their information regards God. Both of them having their foundation within the spirit world. And there is a human viewpoint, evil, propagated by Satan and his army of demons. And then there is divine viewpoint that is revealed by God himself. And fourthly, people, through the function of their sin nature and negative volition, listen to the mutterings of demonic information to formulate their ideas and concepts regards to God. When they put it all together and utilize it as a primary function of life and thinking, we call that religion. G, beyond the tangible evidence of his existence, one's entire understanding of God's essence is derived from the divine revelation of the Scripture. The Bible, the words of the Bible, is divinely inspired. It is the original autographs of the Bible, of the men who wrote the words down in their original condition, that was inspired by God. God, after he inspired these certain men, who are the authors of the books of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, otherwise protected their recordings over time and in throughout history. This is known as a process of transmission. You have inspiration, then you have transmission. And the fact that the Bible was originally written in a language different than our English is why we have to study the original languages so that we can comprehend it within the very framework of their understanding of language from their perspective, whether it's Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. So, in this way, God has protected those things that he desired to be made available for men to know him, to understand him and his plan. He protected certain men otherwise in the transmission of the original autographs, of compiling these things together to come into the form of what we have and know today as the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. It's really phenomenal. It really is supernatural. As a pastor who has a communicative gift, I have a real appreciation for this whole system. It goes beyond the scope of men's truly their intellectual capabilities. And God superintends and empowers people in order to know what is right, to be able to discern, and for those who were involved in putting together the canon of Scripture in the New Testament to see what was to be included versus excluded. Now, there are books, the Apocryphas, that have been rejected by the Council of Pauli Volition, who otherwise investigated and looked at the epistles as we have for the New Testament especially, in coming together with our New Testament. So, it's done, a lot of it is common sense. If you find something in a letter that is an error in regards to the things that are priorities in regards to determining what's right in epistles, letters, etc., such as from the apostles, then obviously that one was canned. It doesn't go into the mix. But anyway, it's a whole other subject. But it is essential in regards to exactly acquiring who and what God is. H, this presupposes that the Bible is the only authentic revelation from God concerning Himself and His plan. We take that statement as serious as life itself. The Bible indeed is perfect. Obviously, what we follow in the English language is only a translation of the original languages. But with the protection of God the Holy Spirit and the original languages kept intact for us, we can ensure a proper translation otherwise. Many people, Christians, claim that the Bible is perfect, but it's amazing how they will disregard parts of it to rationalize their own negative volition or callousness in regards to the truth otherwise. Oh yeah, the Bible's perfect. Yeah, the Bible's from God. Why do you go to church now? Why not? Why not? What's your problem? Bible says you should. Oh well. Man's rejection of God's revelation through creation results in idolatry, as we would say, religiosity, if not pagan idolatry otherwise, and is behind the theory of the false doctrine of evolution in the last days. It's amazing what one erroneous concept can do to mangle the perception of people in regards to the realities of life. One stupid theory called evolution, that we evolved, and that leaven has infiltrated societies around the world now. See? And it has obviously is having the very impact so intended by Satan in propagating this lie to begin with. Rejection of doctrine gives you only one alternative, as men have a propensity to embrace philosophical, ideological, religious, if you will, things in the world to prove their existence, if you will, to themselves, etc. And idolatry is the consequence of rejection of the truth. Again, Romans 1, in the same passage, that reveals Himself through creation. Tells us in rejection of the truth in that respect, the very consequences out of verses 21 through 25. For even though they knew God, again, that one, when I finally just saw that verse for what it said, that was really a mind blower. I mean, to me, the most callous, negative unbeliever at one point in their life had that spark of recognition of God. They knew God. The proof, the evidence of our creation is undeniable. This is the nature of negative volition. See? You think about Satan. He was in a perfect environment. This is the nature of negative volition. People that have negative volition reject, deny God in the very face of the most blatant and obvious evidence otherwise. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. They did not exalt Him to the very level and status of recognition and admiration that our creation says, look at this. Look what He did. You know. Or give thanks. These types of people tend to look to themselves and those things that are finite, dishonorable, weak, otherwise, to elevate themselves. And they fail then to truly honor God in their mind and thinking, in comprehension of all the evidence He has otherwise given to proclaim clearly, without doubt, I exist. But they became futile in their speculations. Obviously, coming to grips that a God exists, then the thinking mind continues to revolve around that idea and trying to come to another level of understanding of who and what this God is. And that is where their negative volition runs rampant in and away from the truth otherwise. And they become futile in their speculations rather than letting the facts of God's veracity, the Holy Scriptures, declare these things. They speculate their own academic intellectual theorize otherwise. And their foolish heart was darkened when one goes off in that type of thinking land of rejecting doctrine, then that allows the darkness of the cosmos through its human viewpoint influence to persuade, sway, and determine and govern the rest of their thinking, their lives, etc. Professing to be wise, they became idiots. That is, your doctorate professors who are up there proclaiming in academia that evolution is real. The Big Bang types of this world. As funny as it is, it is a commentary in regards to just how far south in rational thinking that our society has become, that particular program. It's only funny because they're idiots. They take the place of the Three Stooges. But the Three Stooges did it intentionally. These people think they're smart. See? That's where the Three Stooges are always the heads and shoulders above most comedians. But anyway, now you know who my favorite comedians are. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God, recognizing, obviously, one aspect of His character, His righteousness. Incorruptible. God is perfect. He cannot be tempted. He cannot fail. See? He cannot sin. And those who opt for the human viewpoint alternatives of who and what God is in reality exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. They have to put it in some type of physical form in order to truly comprehend it and understand it. You know, God's spirit, how do you form that spirit? You can't. This is why we're in a spiritual warfare, see, in the angelic conflict. negative volition appeals to the tangible science of men, and otherwise forsaking the reality, the spiritual realities that govern and determine physical realities in life. Hence, you have these idols that have been created in religiosity. Why people still have to cling to icons like the cross and jewelry and things of this nature. See, the crucifix. It's a form of idolatry. We recognize what it may symbolize. But people that hold to these things and consider them to be sacred, if you will, in and of themselves. You know, I knew a guy from Lebanon. He was a Lebanese Christian, is basically Catholic. And I met him at a fundamentalist college that I went to. Yeah, I went to one of those. But anyway, I'll never forget this guy. He is funny. Golly, he is funny. The mysticism that is attached, I really got kind of first insight, because I was never really familiar with Roman Catholicism, from this guy. Supposedly, like, they had a little piece of the cross, a piece of wood that was floating around over there, and everybody just had to get a hold of that, you know. And all idolatry. See, that's what that is. Yeah, we can recognize if something like that was discovered through archaeology and things of that nature, that's phenomenal. But that's not what we lean on. We don't live by sight, we live by faith. See, I don't have to wear a cross to have myself protected in life. That's why I used to wear a cross. That's why I wore one of them. I guarantee you that. That is my mysticism. See, if I wear this, maybe God will let me live. Who knows? But anyway, I had to disregard the rest of the stuff I was doing over there. But anyway, idolatry. It's rampant within society. And this all comes in regards to rejection of truth. When you leave the divine viewpoint, you create a void. And you have to fill it with something, see, in our lives. And here, you're exchanging in reality, in practice, the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Why everybody's got to have a hero? So everybody's got to have an icon. Whether it's in sports, music, etc., etc. Your celebrity in life. See. Then 1 Peter 3:3-6. Oh, I didn't finish 24. Excuse me. Let me finish this up here. Therefore, God gave him over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. Living the Christian life, it really is kind of a paradox. I mean, because we're trying to live a life that's unnatural. That's true. Our natural bodies says we want to sin. We want to rebel against God. The only hope that we have to have any accomplished victory over that in time is through the salvation adjustment, rebound, and the maturity adjustment. We understand that. But for others who reject the truth, they succumb and allow the SCA to continue to rule and run their lives in whatever areas. See. And for those who flat out, obviously, here in as an unbeliever, reject God's glory and opt for the idolatrous religious approach otherwise, part of the judgment that comes upon those people is the fact that they are given free rein to indulge their SCA, their human viewpoints, to whatever degree they think they can take it and get away with it. See. And the reality is that they are a walking idol themselves. And their bodies are dishonored in regards to being a higher creature of God's creation. And that comes through the expression and activity of the sin nature, obviously, through the individual. And verse 25 then, for they exchange the truth of God for a lie. See, it gives you the mechanics, it gives you the workings, the very thing that I'm speaking of. And worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. First Peter 3, 3 through 6. Where? 2 Peter? Is that the one right after 1 Peter? Yeah, that's it. 3 through 6. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking. Those who make fun. Like your comedians in the world. Have absolutely no respect for the authorities that God's established over them in regards to their civil existence. People that mock, make fun, belittle, condescend, all these other characteristics attached to these types. And we are not to allow these things to throw us off balance in regards to history and the time in which we live, and keeping our eyes focused on God's plan otherwise. They're nothing more than negative individuals running amok under their sin nature, rebelling against God, His plan for mankind, and saying, and part of this comes through academia. Science has a reputation for pushing principles even in the face of overt evidence that states otherwise. They got a history of it. All you got to do is look back and see these things. And here, this one is, as it concerns our very creation itself, where is the promise of this coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. The uniformitarianism principle is their science of looking at creation, such like the Grand Canyon. And we see how much the earth has eroded within a span, let's say, a century. In regards to the water. And they say, okay, maybe it went, you know, another 6 inches deeper over 100 years. So then they go in, and mathematically they figure out, well, then it's taken X amount of years for this thing to get down to the level it's at. And so they come up with these astronomical numbers. They do not allow for catastrophic occurrences otherwise to have occurred in regards to our environment, terra firma. See, so they view the world and existence only in the physical narrow-mindedness of their Scientology. So from uniformitarianism came the theory of evolution. For when they maintained this, it escaped their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. It's amazing how these people have such high intellectual IQs, supposedly, can be so blind. How many times have we seen what floods will do to the ground? Just a river overflowing. You know, you get to watch the cool shows where houses fall off the side of the bank and stuff like that. You know. The erosion impact of rushing water. Water is a real power. And it can cut through steel. I mean, they got laser jets now that they use for automotive purposes and cutting out things. It's high velocity water. No. So, synonymous with the truth of Bible doctrine, water, cleansing, all this other stuff, you know. You can see God's hand in regards to everything that He creates. But anyway, these evolutionists, they reject the cataclysmic story of the flood. They say it's just some mystic thing. See? Even though they can't deny the fact that almost all ancient civilizations have their own story of the flood in some form or fashion. Well, wow, where'd that come from? From that little water wiggle that we became humans out of, I guess, and just spread that information on down through there. Anyway, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. See? Being flooded with water. That is part of the mocking of the last days. The mocking is disguised as academia. That's why it's disguised. It's not necessarily the comedians out there. It's disguised as the institution that's pushing this down people's throats. And the whole time, the reality is they're mocking God. See? They're mocking the rational reality of existence. Their theory is truly irrational. They say we come from monkeys. We say someone, a human, looks like a monkey, and then we're blaspheming. Make up your mind. What do you want? No. Two, definition and description. I had to throw that in there. Definition and description of essence attributes. The term essence is derived from the Greek noun phusis, phusis. And it means substance or nature. Substance, what one is made of. Nature, the qualities of one in their substance. The noun phusis is used 14 times. It's used there in the Romans passage that we saw, Romans 1. 26, if we got down that far. Verse 25. For this reason, God gave them over to dishonorable passions, for even their females exchanged a natural function for that which is literally against nature. This shows the bottom of the barrel. The bottom feeders, no pun intended, of SEA dereliction from those who reject and rebel Bible doctrine, rebel against Bible doctrine through and express it through the act of homosexuality. Chapter 2, verses 14 and 27, the noun is used. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively, literally by nature, by our nature, the things of the law, these not having a law, are a law to themselves, those who operate on their conscience. One of the things that God has programmed into our DNA, in our brain computer, is a conscience. The inherent ability to essentially know right from wrong. You don't have to be a believer, a Bible toter, to know right from wrong. Unbelievers recognize right from wrong. A godless society, a nation, world power can recognize the wrong of homosexuality. But we're a lot smarter than that. See. Verse 27. And will not he who is physically uncircumcised, if he carries out the law, will he not judge you who through the letter of the law and circumcision are transgressor of the law? Let's see here. Well, that one I have to double check. Chapter 11, 21 and 24. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you there with respect to Israel as the domesticated olive tree, the church being a wild branch. The nature of dispensational realities as they apply to the church, as we are an extension from the Hebrew nation due to their spiritual malfeasance, parenthetically for the time, then verse 24, but our term nature there. For if you're cut off from what is nature, a wild olive tree, the nature is that they have certain characteristics that are attributed rather than a domesticated olive tree. Fruit trees, if they're left in the wild, will expose different properties sometimes than even the domesticated one who's trimmed, pruned, things of this nature in time. And we're grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, verse 24. And much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree. Three times it's used in that verse. Again, that's speaking of Israel. Then 1 Corinthians 11, 14. Does not even nature itself teach you that if man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? So, really, it's not that people are ignorant. It's people rebel or deny more so. I mean, you should be able to know that for a male to have long hair is not right without doctrine. Galatians 2:15. We are Jews by nature. The DNA of their heritage, and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Comment made by the legalist. 4:8. Judaizers. However, at that time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. The essence of idols. Ephesians 2:3. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature our natural man. See. Children of wrath, those to be judged. Because of their very nature, even as the rest, were born with a sin nature. And from that fact alone, we are children of wrath. We are susceptible. We are the targets of God's judgment. James 3, 7, she's two times there. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles, of fish of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human nature, literally. They're translated race. And then 2 Peter 1, 4. For by these Jesus granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, to imitate and share in God's essence, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. It comes about through the nature, our natural man, the sin nature. Take our break.